May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 779. Faith implanted from above will prove a fertile root, whence will spring a tree of love, producing precious fruit. Though bleak winds the boughs deface, the rooted stock shall still remain. Leaves may languish, fruit decrease, but more shall grow again. 779.
Let us read in the book of Psalms, read Psalm 9 and Psalm 142. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 9 and Psalm 142. To the chief musician upon Mathlabin, a psalm of David. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvellous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name for ever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them, but the Lord shall endure for ever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higeon, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish for ever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. Psalm 142. Maskil of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Let us pray. O thou who art the Almighty God, we plead the sweet promise that thou hast declared and sworn in thine own well-beloved Son, for thou art a priest for ever after the order of Melchizedek. And so we plead, Lord Jesus, thou intercede for us before the holy and eternal majesty on high. And we plead that thou grant us the help and aid of the Holy Ghost. We may be favoured, enabled to pour out our hearts now, to pray from an honest heart, yes, honest by thy sanctifying grace, and to so bring every care and concern and confess all our sin, and in precious faith plead the fullness of thee who art at the right hand of God. Oh, do draw near to us this evening hour. We pray the Holy Spirit may be in our midst, pulpit and pew, or to take of the precious things of thee, Emmanuel, and bring them home to our hearts, that there may be a flowing in of thy everlasting love, and thy great forgiveness, and that we may be refreshed in our souls, that precious hope may be raised up, that sure hope. Oh, the hopes of this world are vain hopes. But the hope in God, the hope in Christ, a precious Christ, is a sure and a certain hope. Do speak these things into our heart in our great need and our low estate. And so, Lord, there's not all about us as we gather here, the scenes of the day, the journeys, the industry, the business. Ah, the sinful thoughts, sinful imaginations, ah, our wandering mind. Yet let us know the longing, the seen the rising desire, been a witness to it. Heard the cry for help and the cry for mercy, the cry for forgiveness, the cry for a real religion. Oh Lord, what a merciful Saviour thou art. We thank thee that thou art omniscient. Often we tremble at such a thought. How can ever God dwell with me? I'm so wicked in my heart. It's in all my wicked ways. And yet, oh, we be thankful that thy eye is omniscient. Let us know the desire toward thy name. Oh, let us see the movement of the soul upward. Just read the longing heart. Hear the cry of the poor and needy, the cry of the destitute, and let us hear that prayer of faith. All salvation's thy work from first to last, both in thy finished work at Calvary, and Lord, in thy government over us, in ordering our way safely, in filling us here with it of thy eternal fullness of those of that rich grace, and making us fruitful. So I work when we come to a dying day to carry us safely through. We plead these great favours, Lord, not for our sakes. Oh, let us say in the prophet Ezekiel, be ashamed and confounded, O house of Israel, for your sakes. And I do these things for my great name's sake. And so we plead thy great name, all prevailing name, for all the help that we need, the mercy we need. Ah, God of providence, God of grace, order our way in this lower world and lead us in the way everlasting, and do fit to prepare us for our dying day. Well, we're real sinners here. Whether it troubles us or not, we're all in the same place as real sinners, born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Oh, but there's forgiveness for thee. Oh, they give eternal life. And we plead thy precious name. And we plead thou come and bless us and do us good. And pour in the oil and wine of the gospel. The whole do not need a physician. And we really save them that are sick, and we're sick. We're really sick, Lord. And our sickness is killing us. It's a deadly disease, is sin. Bring us to the grave, Lord. Oh, that last hour, our last of death and our last breath. Oh, it's all the fruit of sin. We bless thee for the gospel. We plead it before thee now. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Yea, said poor sinful Martha. Yea, Lord. She confessed that was that Christ. Well, we're so often Martha-like and Peter-like and David-like. Ah, but help us to believe in our heart that Christ. Oh, the blessed one sent from God, the Saviour. And so may we wrestle on. We plead that promise also. Come that they might have life, and much more abundantly. That's what we need, Lord, the abundance of it. Oh, dear kind physician, oh, such a tender heart. Oh, one who fully understands. One who can save to the uttermost. Come and pour in the oil and the wine of the gospel. Do us each good. Oh, may we be favoured to have that precious faith to tell thee all our symptoms. All the symptoms of our deadly disease. Day by day, and come to those healing mercies. All those healing streams in streams of blood. Oh, Lord, oh, for thy great love. To know thy great forgiveness and the sanctifying of thy blood, that we may truly be found in spite of all that we are, yet still, O miracle, bringing forth fruit unto eternal life. Well, then, as the cases of the people, O Lord, do breathe life into each one. We've got a never-dying soul, Lord, a never-ending eternity. Eternity, a tremendous sound. The poet says the guilt is a dreadful wound. Oh, it may be with us each, Lord. But Christ may be ours. The poet goes on to say, how sweet the accents. How divine. But all we do need such a preparation. Oh, we remember how in Bunyan's Progress, they address themselves, as it were, to go down into the flood. Not an easy matter with anyone who fears thy name. They want Christ. Oh, Lord, wean us from the world. Oh, make us willing the day of thy power. Oh, fill our hearts with a sweet sense of thy love and mercy. We may yield ourselves unto God. Address ourselves to go down into the flood, pleading Christ. Trusting wholly to thee, we pray for this. In the meantime of our journey, Lord, oh, be with us. Keep our feet from falling. Keep our hearts and our minds stayed upon thee. Oh, may we be helped still in thy name to trust. Oh, to press on into the kingdom. Oh, to press toward that mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We pray for it, Lord. Our prayer is give us each a real religion. A religion, Lord, that will stand every storm, every fiery trial, every test, every loss. Oh, give that new heart that sinks down on the arms of the everlasting covenant. A new heart that won't give up. Oh, a new heart that cleaves to Christ. Do hear prayer. Do minister the gospel to one and another as to all the circumstances, the providential matters, home affairs and family circles and the business life and the private personal pathway, the older friends, those in retirement, the married and the unmarried, all the dear younger friends. Oh, we do pray thou so minister thy precious word. Oh, do grant a good evening in Zion. Yes, thy presence to be known and felt. That makes a good evening, Lord. It really does. Do grant it for thy name's sake. Be our future. Yes, order our way. Oh, Lord, we plead that loving heart that does plan and has planned from all eternity. And that ever, that gracious, tender, loving hand that guides us. And the poetry of from Rutherford, bless the heart, the hand that guided, bless the heart that planned. May we be among that people that shall bless thee. Oh, may we see thy goodness pass before us in the way. We look back over life's journey, and the older we get, the more we do that. Oh, we marvel. We marvel at thy mercies. Oh, no doubt a number can raise an Ebenezer and say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Oh, we've been through floods and waves and billows and fires and desperate places. Oh, when our heart was sore broken. And oh, how we were like wax before the Lord, melting wax. Oh, no strength, just sinking down. Yet there is look upon us in our low estate. So in all our helplessness and pollution, had great compassion. Oh, are thou not a wonderful God? We've seen thy marvellous works. May we see them still. And may all these things we've passed through be greatly sanctified to us. Oh, Lord, to still in thy name to trust, to still lean more heavily upon thee, to inquire more in thy temple, after thy precious person, or to pray more, or to trust more. And yet, we're conscious of our failings, so many shortcomings. We have to keep coming back to the same place, mercy through blood. I make my plea. Oh, God, be merciful to me. Bless the people. Oh, have mercy on us now. And do grant that thou build the walls of Jerusalem here. Grant thy spirit upon the brethren here. Let thy work appear among them. And the dear children that come on the Sabbath, mercy to them. The precious, never-dying souls. Oh, as they attend Zion's courts and those things set from the Sunday school, do grant, Lord, that in thy great and tender mercy, there may be some entrance of thy word in their young hearts. Something might be laid in them to make them realize they are before God. Give them a tender conscience and give them the fear of the Lord. Open them the scriptures that they grow up into this world, or they may be found bringing forth fruit. Hear prayer. Bless office bearers, give wisdom and grace and godly fear, we pray. O Lord, may there be given a single eye to thy glory and bind the brethren together in godly fear, in love, praying one for another. May there be unity here in that great question. Oh, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Or may there be one mind in the Lord in that tremendous, grand, glorious question. Oh, may there be any of those who shall confess and say, thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. May those who will say, come and hear all ye that fear God. I'll tell you what's done for my soul. Oh, that woman at the well spoke of thee, who told thee all that ever told them of all that ever she did. Is not this the Christ? Ah, make thyself known, save to us, that speak unto thee, am he. Or may we know thee as that blessed, holy, glorious he, the I am, that I am. The great God, yet dwelling among the sons of men with us. Now gone to glory to to save us and bless us and help us and minister to us. When it's ministering this night, Lord, we minister from the court above, from heaven's holy, happy place. Oh, send the Holy Spirit to minister to us the gospel, to minister to the minister, and to minister to the hearer. We do beg. We need thee, Lord. We pray for another harvest. We thank thee for the beautiful seasons, been the sunshine, and now we've had some rains. Not good in all that thou doest. Please thy kind majesty sit a weather now for the furthering gathering of the grain and the various crops later. A faithful God. We want to thank for all those mercies that surround us day by day. We get used to daily mercies. Oh, we're such sinners. We get used to things. We forget the hand. Ah, we forget God in these things so easily, easily. We turn on the tap. We open our cupboards, sit down to a meal, get dressed in the morning. Where all these things come from? The good hand of God. And especially open Bible. Ah, a glorious providence in great love to bring us under the sound of the gospel and into Zion's courts. Oh, sanctify, Lord, the ministry of thy word to us. For in Zion's courts we pray. Hear our cries. Oh, do spare this guilty realm. Oh, we're in confusion, Lord. We've turned our back on God. It's the fruit of wickedness in high places as well as among the people. Lord, have mercy. And do raise up faithful men and bring stability. And pull down the strongholds of Satan. Oh, Lord, hear prayer. Hear the prayer of the praying remnant, we pray. Lord, so bless this people, continue with them, be their future, provide for them, and under shepherd in due time. Lord, from thee and from thee alone, lead them in the right way in these matters, rightly exercising the matters, to inquire of the Lord in these great matters. Let there be no mistakes, Lord, made, or no pushing for this man or that man. Or may there be indeed a waiting upon God to be led, and oh, to be united in the leadings, so that please to give them, hear prayer. Lord, we do pray for the flock and friends at home. Lord, do bless every precious soul there, we pray. And all the little hills of Zion, the assembly of the saints, the twos and threes, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But now come and help us, Lord. Come and save us. Oh, thou knowest our great need. Oh, look upon the parched ground. Our Lord, look upon those that are grieved and those in distress. Whatever that distress, Lord. Oh, there's help laid upon one that is mighty. Yes, one exalted, chosen out of the people. A precious Jesus. Oh, do us good now and pardon the sins of our whole life. We can't confess the sins of our whole life. We can confess it in one round sentence, but we can't begin to think upon it, Lord. Innumerable to us, but we believe, oh, wonderful. Oh, what a mercy if thou hadst known them all and felt the punishment of them all. Oh, we pray for it. It's a mystery beyond our understanding. It's not something emotional, it's something vast. We stand in awe, we tremble. We do hope our sins, our wicked sins, our love of sin, we hope, Lord, was laid upon thee, that smart for us, we may be delivered. We plead the precious gospel. Ah, the precious gospel of Jesus. Oh, the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. We plead these things, that our blessed Spirit would feed our souls and water our souls tonight. We beg, we pray, we plead, thy precious name, all-prevailing name, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
739. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. 739.
Complete the dependence upon the aid of the Holy Ghost. Ask your prayerful attention to Psalm 9 and to verses 8, 9, and 10. Psalm 9, verses 8, 9, 10. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Psalm 9, verses 8, 9, and 10. Read in verse 7, but the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. His throne of divine rule in purity and holiness and justice. What an infinite mercy it is that God cannot lie. What a mercy it is to us, you who fear his name and tremble at word. Yes, you know that there's hope for you in this. His name is jealous. You who go on your own way, I hope there are none here, but well, I realize we preach to mixed congregations, but those who live carelessly and do not humble themselves and plead the precious name of Jesus, you know. Ah, my dear friends, what an awful justice they will know. His name is jealous, his own glory. He's jealous of his own glory in this. Those who plead his precious name, his word shall stand for them. His declarations, his covenant declarations shall stand for them and forever and forever and forever. Well, now verse 8, he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. This speaks of his reign in ministering, reigning in glory over all the affairs of the sons of men. In all the calamities and all the sorrows and all the distresses and all the worries in the church of God, God is upright, has a blessed end among his own dear people. They shall be brought to his feet. Brought to his feet in supplication, in confessions, in entreaties, in cries for forgiveness and cries for his blessing and cries to be saved. Oh, what a good God we have in heaven. The great matter, my friends, is are we brought to his feet? Am I brought to his feet? Are you brought to his feet? Are we found in the couplet of the hymn, a beggar poor at mercy's door, lies such a wretch as I? Great mercy, if you are, now it's painful. Oh, the soul feels the pain. The affairs are painful, the fears rise. But he judges in uprightness, the people in uprightness. He reads all the aching hearts here. He hears all the groans, the sighs, the confessions. The treatise of the Lord's blessing, the Lord's help. Here's your confession, you tell the Lord your poverty, your weakness of faith. You feel such an empty sinner, you need him to bless you and fill you with his fullness. To tell the Lord you feel you need him to increase your faith. Lay his hands upon you and bless you. You tell the Lord, I need thee, Lord, to save me from my sins. I've got such a sinful propensity. He judges in uprightness. The impenitent, they shall not be cleared. Those who do not confess their sins, knock at mercy's door, pray at their heart. Ah, my dear friends, yes, to be judged in uprightness, but they shall be ashamed. And that shame, you know, my friends, is an everlasting shame. Oh, my dear friends, yes, it's midsummer now and the year is halfway through. Time goes so quickly. What an eternity we have. What a pinprick time is. When you get to 70, you now realise your days are nearly over. And where's my time been? My time is short and so are yours. You young ones, your time is short. Lord, lay into your hearts. Prepare the earthly scene, all its worries and concerns, responsibilities, exercises, lawful exercises, exercising business and family and the natural pathway before God, the exercise of your never dying soul. Oh, yet, when all these things are done, eternity. What it must be exercised about your soul. I speak very carefully and tenderly. Of course we're exercised about our providence. We can't help it. We're so poor, we're so weak. We cry for mercy. It's a great mercy if in the troubles of our life, the troubles, the natural troubles in our heart that we bear, if there's a real cry to Jesus Christ for his blessing. The providential, the sparing, the healing, the delivering, a right way to be made, him to provide for us, undertake for us, and yet to bless us, bless us. Mr. Frank Godwin once said, in a heavy trial, all he could cry out was, Lord, let it do me good. Let it do me good. Often thought about it in my life when I come into sorrows. Ah, it was good counsel, wasn't it? A good experience which he told others from the pulpit. Let it do me good. Can you look back, my friends, over trials? They've done you good. They've done you good. You were brought to the feet of Emmanuel and you saw his goodness. He commanded deliverances for you, the sons of Jacob. Well, what a gracious God we go to, one who judges in uprightness. He says, and the Lord shall judge the world in righteousness. He'll never make a mistake. You see, my friends, with the witness of the Spirit, you can find yourself in the Word of God. The Word of God. Can you find yourself in company with the publican? God knows this about you and about me. You have to pray it, really pray it. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And again, hear my cry, Lord, for I am brought very low. And do you know the company of the psalmist as well? Pardon mine iniquity, Lord, it's great. And make haste to help me, O Lord, for I am poor and needy. My dear friends, are you in company with the Apostle Paul in all the perplexities and vexations? I know in whom I have believed. Why? It's the work of God in your heart. If God works in your heart, you'll know it, friend. We say from that religion where people pretend they've got a work of God and they don't know whether they're saved or not. If the Lord works in your heart, you'll need to be saved. And you know then that you have not received the token you want. Things are clear in the work of God. You need it in your heart. And when the Lord does give you a token, you receive it. Your soul is relieved. You know it. I'm not suggesting by that you don't get confused. I often get very confused. When things get dark and cloudy in my soul and I've got no life, felt life within, not much rising coming up from my poor, troubled and barren heart. Oh, how we say, ah, Lord, I feel I'm an outcast. Mercy to me. But see, he judges uprightly. In uprightness, in righteousness, he will hear the prayer of the poor and needy when they cry. You know your need and you know in whom you believe, who you trust. A sweet thing to trust in Christ. And it's a great thing to trust in Christ in desperations. To trust in Christ in deep sorrow. Still in his name to trust and leave your issue and your all with him. To judge him faithful. Abraham judged God faithful. So did Sarah. Ah, for she judged in faith of a promise, though she was sinful in laughing in unbelief and did not, and then she lied and said she didn't laugh, but she did. And God knows all the confusion of our mind and our unbelieving laughter too. And yet he knows what he will do with his people. So he puts life and a living desire in their heart, a life that can't be lost in your soul. A great mercy, eternal life can't be lost. Great mercy. Because if it was a natural life, we'd lose it. But it's eternal life. It comes from God. And the ransom can never be lost. The righteous also shall hold in his way. So you see, is a most precious truth, yet a solemn truth. For when we consider the end of time, we read concerning judgment, for God will judge the world in righteousness by that man who hath ordained. So there is, according to the scripture, the pure word, a man will stand and judge us. And that man is the glorious blessed one, Emmanuel, the Son of God, the Son of Man. Isn't that wonderful? Because that very one will judge you according to fruit and to works and your life here. And he hears in your life, your little life, what a mercy if he does hear it. You know whether you pray. You know how you are, whether you groan or mourn and weep over yourself, hate yourself, yet plead a precious Christ. You feel so very, very poor. Times you can't trust without under trial, can have the work in your heart. You get put to it. Lord, I feel so barren, my soul is barren. But the dead know nothing. The living, he knows his barrenness, his poverty and his weakness. He cries for help. He cries for mercy. And this people shall be judged in righteousness. They'll have their desire. Have their desire. What's your desire tonight? What's mine? Well, we don't answer each other. We don't just, as it were, give a hasty answer. You look back over the exercise of your soul, the places you've been in and the blessings you've received and the hopes and fears, alternate rise and comforts mingle with your sighs in that pathway. What's your desire? Lord, that I might be found in thee. That was the desire of the Apostle Paul who knew Christ. Notice the man that had looked right into heaven and seen things not lawful to utter. Yet he desired to win Christ. Didn't say, I'm a good Christian. I'm a believer and I should get to heaven in a cocksure sort of way. No. That I might win Christ. Oh, he who would do good and evil is present. Oh, he, my friends, who indeed found that he would, he did not. That he would not, he did. The wretched man. But he pressed. You who know your wretched people, you press. Now God, that blessed man ordained of God, the King of kings, the Lord of his well-beloved eternal Son, will judge the world in righteousness. And ah, you see, if you're among those who are seeking his precious faith, you see, really you're in that denomination of people called his sheep. My sheep hear my voice. Yes, and I give them eternal life, and they know me. And where in this world do you know Jesus? At the throne of grace. Because it's at the throne of grace there are the communications to your heart. The heart goes out after him in earnest entreaties for blessing. And, oh, those living waters flow down. Rather like Jacob's ladder, isn't it? Yes, those angels ascending and descending. And the Lord above it, that throne of grace. So it is a good word for the poor and needy, for those who hunger and thirst, those who cry out for the living God, seek his blessed face, who see a beauty in him, glorious beauty. Why, the Saviour. Now he says, the Lord, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Now, there'll be no misjudgment, no miscarriage of judgment of justice on the day of judgment. No miscarriage at all. Oh, my friends, you'll realise your desire. You'll have all your longings in that day. The weepings you knew here are gone forever. Enter into the joy of your Lord. But those who despise his name and walked, yes, in their own uprightness, in their own strength, in their own integrity, those who knew not the humbling work of God in their heart, those who remained hard and impenitent, oh, how sorrowful they will be. Too solemn to mention, really, but we have to mention it to be faithful and to warn. Let's go on now. But I felt it a good word. I was only going to preach from 9 and 10, but as I looked at verse 8, it struck me, there's hope here, you know. There's hope here. Because of the covenant. You see, a righteous God will fulfill his word, his counsel, in remembering the poor and needy when they cry, in forgiving those who confess, in visiting those who call upon him and entreat him for his divine help, those who reverence him as the Son of God from their very heart. See, in true prayer by the Spirit, and you may not be conscious always you have the Spirit with you, but if you have, you know something of his majesty, his greatness. He's the Christ. You long to sink down at his feet. You long for access, you see. I know you may not always feel it, but the desire, the life is in your soul. And he gives favoured seasons. But sometimes we have to return, as it were, away from the throne of grace and back to our journey without any real tokens. But oh, the need stays, the life stays. Oh, the exercise stays, sometimes damp but never dies, as Hart says. It goes on. Have eternal life. Great mercy, you know. And if you have eternal life, you see you have an object in all your exercise, Christ, that root and offspring of David, and that bright and morning star. See, the root and the offspring is the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Almighty God the Son. And he begins to be the bright and morning star to your poor soul. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. A refuge. God is our refuge and strength, says the psalmist, a very present help in time of trouble. Now also we read in Deuteronomy, the blessing of Moses, the eternal God is thy refuge. That's a text I feel I've never been able to preach from, properly anyway. Mind you, I can't preach anything properly without divine help. But what I mean, just feel the dimension, the vastness of that truth. The eternal God. The vast, eternal being. God is a spirit. And they that worship him in spirit and in truth. The Father seeks us to worship him. Now that vast, holy, eternal being, I am that I am, is the sinner's refuge. The sinner's refuge. So how can God be your refuge here tonight? It says, here as we have before us, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Because he's provided the rock of ages. The rock of ages. The Lord Jehovah will be thy strength, you see. Or the rock of ages. Everlasting strength, it says in Isaiah 26. The rock of ages. The eternal rock. That rock on which his church is built. And behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation. A stone, a chief cornerstone, elect precious. There's a precious person. A sure foundation. Where honest sinners sinking down and pleading the all-prevailing name of Christ, yes, they're promised. It's declared. Why? Because this man continues forever. You know your place, your condition, your oppressions, your sorrows, your distresses, your ups and downs, your weariness, your sense of helplessness in the things of God. Oh, how your poor heart gets clogged up, how at times you can't break forth. But you see, he's a refuge for the oppressed. Yes, a refuge in times of trouble. Because the eternal God is thy refuge. Therefore, he says, he that believeth shall not be confounded. That sure foundation, Christ. And who is he? Jesus, the eternal Son of God, and God with us, the Son of Man. And you see, it's not just want to set forth the doctrine, but the sweet truth of him, the friend of sinners, provided by God with yeas and amens, holy swearing concerning the coming sinner, the needy sinner. All these precious truths we have declared by the psalmist, you see. The fulfilling of all these things is bound up in a precious Christ who's gained the victory, gotten it. Yes, by his own power, his Godhead, his power. Yes, his holy sacred manhood as the Lamb, the sufferer, bearing our sins in his own body, bringing out his own soul unto death for you. For you, poor needy sinner, who deserve the lowest hell. And yet, you see, he's resurrection and life. He's the resurrection. He's risen. He's ascended. He's set down. He's the high priest in heaven. Oh, there's a high priest, my friends, ordained of God, anointed by God, appointed by God. Yes, and you know, my friends, every promise is in him. Yea, and amen in him, we read in Corinthians. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And again in Hebrews, because he swear by himself, because could swear by no greater, that we may indeed have that precious promise, that precious hope. A key word has gone out of my mind now, so I'll just have to turn it up. Yes, he swear by himself, saying, surely blessing I'll bless thee, multiplying I'll multiply thee. And so we read, wherein God willing more abundantly. Notice the holy terminology, more abundantly. An overflowing love. An overflowing faithfulness. This is truth that can't lie, truth that can't deceive, truth that can never die. Truth will never fall unto a glorious, glorious, never-ending eternity. But to show the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath. You see, the heirs of promise are not merely Jews by nature, by blood, by birth, but all who live by faith. Because all the nations will be blessed in Abraham. Therefore, all who live by faith, all who pray to the Lord Jesus, all who confess their sins, all who plead the sweet truth, all who value Christ, all who reverence Christ, all who groan, mourn, hate their own life also, what they are by nature. Oh, how Kent says it very beautifully, it's in 113. Daily to find thyself undone. And we are. We know we're undone. We feel it daily. We'll make haste to kiss the Son. On thy knees to pardon to you and praise and love and bless him too. That by two, he converted by an oath, that by two immutable things was impossible for God to lie. Now this is what I want to come to. That we might have a strong consolation. It doesn't just say consolation. The scripture says strong consolation for your Saviour lives. It's a strong consolation. He's entered heaven with his own blood. His blood speaks in the court of heaven. However bad your case, impossible your case, his blood speaks in heaven. But it speaks to a people who are characterised by a certain way, a certain walk, a certain conversation. Let us look at it, you see. we might have a strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge? Who have fled for refuge? Are you fleeing for refuge? Because your case is so bad. You're so poor, so needy. You find yourself so lifeless and cold, yet you want God. You want God, want His mercy. You need His hand to be upon you day by day. Yes, leading forth by that right way. You need a mighty Saviour to save you day by day, keep you day by day, open a loving hand in providence and to your soul day by day. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And he goes on to show which hope we have, an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and that which entereth within the veil, heaven, whither the forerunner has for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. There's a priest in heaven. And the Lamb is in the midst of the throne. Your God is in heaven. And my dear friends, that yes, your God is your Father, who's raised to his right hand his well-beloved Son. Yes, in our nature as that blessed Son of Man, to be a mighty Prince of Saviour, because Jesus is the mediator. We can't approach directly to the Almighty. He's too holy. We must be consumed because, well, we've had sinful thoughts today, friends, I'm afraid. Now, what can God do with that? Consume. But he laid it all on his Son, smote his Son. Oh, Jesus died for the ungodly, risen the third day for their justification. And all who come unto him, yes, who flee for refuge, who come as poor, needy sinners, who hear the shepherd's voice saying, come unto me, me, glorious, holy, lovely, tender, loving me. I speak reverently of Christ, but it's true, it's true. All ye that labour, you know you're labouring, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge. Well, the refuge is in Jesus, in heaven. And therefore, there is a looking up, a looking unto Jesus in the exercise of the soul. Oppressed. Just look at these oppressions just briefly, time goes. Well, of course, I suppose the first and the main oppression I must remember is, or mention I should say, is our sins. Our sins. Sin to me is the most oppressive thing, because we know we love dying things. Now, it's a great mercy to be delivered from the power of sin. Oh, it's a great mercy, my friends, if you can truly trace out your life now has been changed by grace. Oh, once you love sin, hardened your heart, went your own way. Or you, as it were a Sadducee. You were religious, but emotional with it as well. Yet back you went to your old sins during the week, you see. Sinning and repenting, but now there's a weight, a solemnity, an earnestness. It's a grief. You're oppressed. He's a refuge for these people that groan being burdened. Oh, the apostle groaned, oh wretched man that I am. Oh, you fear God. You know something of it, my dear friends, don't you? You groan, being burdened. Yes, this body of death, this nature I possess. Who shall deliver me? Why, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He knew his deliverer. He knew his deliverance. He knew what was before him. But he needed grace, grace, grace upon grace to get there. For you to get heaven, my friends, from this chapel tonight, yes, on your life's journey and land in heaven at last, I'll tell you what you need. Grace, grace, grace upon grace. He giveth more grace, we read. Jesus gives us grace. We're saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus. What is it? Goodness. God is good. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth him that trust him. He knoweth them here tonight. A refuge for the oppressed. You'll be oppressed by your sinnership while you live here. Grace brings knowledge. Grace brings real, true, holy feelings. And if you've got holy grace working in you, if you've got that holy eternal life, oh, sin will be a hateful thing. So you have to hate your own life also because of the sinnership you possess. But grace reigns. I like that hymn, often pray it for myself, again and again. Do thou my sin subdue. It's a prayer to the Lord, isn't it? Do thou my sin subdue, thy sovereign love make known. The spirit of my mind renew, and save me in thy Son. Oh, that's a good hymn, isn't it, friends? Keep praying it. Ah, he's faithful to those petitioners that plead for his help about their sin. He may be their refuge in the oppression of sin. They may hide. Oh, what a hiding place is Christ. Then the oppression of the cruel adversary. Because where the Lord's work is, Satan tries to be strong. He got quite strong in the case of David, didn't he? Well, when David, full of unbelief, fled into the land of the Philistines, and poor man, he was about to perish, but he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He had the root, didn't he? But five friends, you see, oh, how the oppression of the adversary, you'll perish, you know, David, you'll perish. It says unbelief. I was thinking in the vestry, there are two things in my life that seem so strong and so wicked. The thoughts that rise from within, the limiting God, the unbelief, the worldly mind. And under trial, especially needing refuge and help, we feel the unbelief rising. We look at the storm, we look at the people, we look at this situation. We look at the things as they are to the natural eye. Down our poor heart goes. Now, the other is Satan, the accuser, the oppressor, with his fiery darts. You're finished now. Turn back, turn back. Cannot hear your prayers. But he's a refuge for the oppressed. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them. What a mercy, he hears prayer. Oh, the Lord Jesus is a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. And the word declares very plainly, doesn't it? Jesus himself spoke, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will. There's no peradventure here, my friends. Well, we're oppressed by the fierce enemy. He's sowing in our soul, he's whispering. Sometimes his frontal assaults, sometimes his subtle drawing. Oh, how he reasons at times. And he works upon the carnal mind, and the carnal mind in league with him. Oh, how we judge and we misjudge. I quoted already concerning Abraham and Sarah, they judge God faithful. That's the religion I need, my friends, in trial, in storms, in fears and tempests, you know. Oh, I need that root that judges God faithful. And he is faithful. A refuge with the oppressed. But when we have such sorrows in our life, and it's the hand of God, and at times you may feel an outcast from him. Jonah knew what it was to be an outcast. Well, he was a very disobedient, poor man. And he got himself into those deeps. I'm cast out of thy sight. But the root, eternal life, God was his refuge, a God he sinned against, a God he disobeyed. Well, those who you've sinned against God, you've disobeyed his voice. Refuge for the oppressed. All the oppression on his conscience, and now the oppression of the hand of God. He's in a fish's belly, it's dark. Weeds wrapped around his head. But there were two heartbeats, the heartbeat of faith and the heartbeat of the body. The heartbeat of faith in his soul, the heartbeat of the body. Isn't that wonderful? A miracle of grace, isn't it? And so the fish swam towards the leaven, taking Jonah back to his right place. Oh, the wisdom of God. And so he proved. And you, dear younger ones, Jonah said in the fish's belly, they that regard lying vanities forsake their own mercy. He sweetly concluded, salvation is of the Lord, and it is of the Lord, my friend. Oppressed though, you see, in your circumstances, the trying of faith. Oh, a precious faith is tried. You find yourself in a situation where everything's against the hope you have in Christ. Everything seems to work against the promise. Well, now time's getting on. We can't enumerate really, but think of Abraham, childless for 25 years, but he had a promise in thy seed. And so he got busy and raised up the seed. No, that's your work, Abraham. In thy seed, Sarah shall conceive of a son. Oh, you see, the seed of the bondwoman will not serve. It's whom I choose. Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the seed, you see. No, there may be those things in your soul, and you're far from them. A little hope in Christ, you're far from it. A word in season, a word of salvation, a word about a certain matter. The good hand of God upon you. You worship when you received instruction from him. But where are you now? Upside down. Well, we mentioned Abraham. There are so many, aren't there? Joseph languishing in prison. Now, dreamer, what's happened to your dreams? Until the time that the word of the Lord came, the Lord tried him. And in a great trial, under great provocation, two dreamers were troubled. And Joseph said, tell me your dream. And he said, do not interpretation belong unto God? I wasn't pondered that sentence. What faith he had. Here am I, falsely accused, far away. What those dreams really meant. I'm sure he had some inclination of something about what those dreams meant. But where? It's so far from it. It's impossible. Totally impossible. Do not interpret as belonging unto God. And they did. A ray of hope came. Why? Because the battle was to be restored. Remember me before Pharaoh. Yes. Oppressed for 2 more years. The butler forgot Pharaoh. The butler forgot Joseph. You're so taken up with serving Pharaoh, you forgot all about that Hebrew slave until Pharaoh dreams. That's the appointed time, you see. That's the appointed time. A refuge for the oppressed. There's an appointed time to deliver Zion. We read in Psalm 102, the time, yea, the set time is come. There's an appointed time to man upon the earth and all his affairs to the end of his days. Ah, my dear friends. Yes, the trying of your faith. You're oppressed under it, though. Oppressed under it. Well, I mustn't say any more about this point, but I must hasten on. And a refuge in times of trouble. Times of trouble. The time of trouble is this life, you know, friends. It is. It's this life. We don't go far without some trouble. And the older we get, the troubles increase. When I was a lad, I used to think, when I get older, you know, I'll manage better. I didn't quite think that, really. You know, see the old folks, but you'll manage better, you see. Pride of man. No, we can't. A great mercy to be kept in need of Christ to manage for you. Times of trouble. Yes, now there are appointed times of trouble by God. There's afflictions, bodily afflictions, desperate places. Oh, my friends, there are those troubles at work, seasons of heavy trial with the sons of men, all the afflictions in the family, all the worries of the eternal welfare of the family, troubles in the church of God. Satan hates peace, you know, my friends. If there's disagreement or different views in the church of God, remember, my dear friends at Swavesey, Satan loves disagreement and he'll work on it very quickly. He'll stir you up. He can turn up two parties, two or three parties with different viewpoints. And instead of waiting for the Lord humbly and quietly, we can get determined to force it. Lord, save me. Lord, save us each. Keep us in his tender fear all the day long. You see, times of trouble, he's a refuge. So you see, where there are church worries, there's bound to be church worries. We want reality, don't we? We want to be kept. We want the purity of the truth. We don't want the leaven of anything other than that's the glory of Christ coming, do we? We want the pure truth, and the tender fear of the Lord to be exercised, do we not? But where there may be church worries, a refuge. Pour it all out before the Lord. Ask him for his work. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him for direction. Ask to be kept and preserved. Seek his glory. Seek his glory and not our own. Well, I must hasten. Times of trouble. See, an old age gets more troublesome, you see. The aches and pains begin to appear. The body weakens. All a messenger, isn't it? Yeah, we're getting towards dissolution. Our old age, we meet many dear godly people who have memory loss, and it's very distressing to the family. Others have great pain and indeed become lame and weak. The mind wanders, all sorts of solemn afflictions among the sons of men. And we're not exempt because we're the people of God. No, no. Once a child, sometimes think to us, well, if a man's a child, why does he have these things? Won't the Lord take care of him? Why aren't we exempt from these things, my friends? We must be led in a pathway where, firstly, we need Christ. And secondly, we need to be blessedly and graciously taught what Jesus experienced for us. He actually went down to death, you see. In prophecy, the sorrows of death compassed him. The waves went over his soul. Though he didn't age in the sense that we age, yet he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Oh, my dear friends, he expired in death. And therefore, it's to the Lord's glory that he'll bring his people to old age and to a hoary crown, generally speaking. I know some are taken away early. Wonderful if they're taken to glory. And many have been taken young. But you see, he promises to be with his people unto hoar hairs, not to leave them nor forsake them. And though some illness must bring us down and we tremble at it, I don't like mentioning it. I'm so nervous myself. And yet, he's a blessed man that trusts. A blessed man that trusts. A blessed man that says, Lord, I'm afraid, but thou art that blessed Christ. Reign o'er me as king. Accomplish thy will even for me, Lord, and powerfully bring me forth from all ill, even through death, Lord, till falling before thee, I laud thy love name, ascribing the Lord to God and the Lamb. May we ever ascribe it by faith first. Lord, thou canst bring me through. Now it's good, my dear young friends, while you are in earlier days, young men and young women, to lay out prayers against that day. It's good. It's safe. In times of trouble. Well, those seasons vary from one decade to another, one year to another. They go from strength to strength, everyone in Zion. One watering place, one place of help to another place of help. And why help? You need it. Not a theory. Help isn't a theory. It's a mighty hand to uphold, you support, you strengthen, you lead you safely forth by that right way. You dear people who fear God, you know the pathway, don't you? Just through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom. Now I must hasten. Now, verse 10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Why? Thou art so good. The Lord is so good to let us do it by faith. Lord, give us that precious faith. How trustworthy is Christ. Ah, we sons of men aren't very trustworthy, are we? We can change. He changes not. The first word ever preached from was for the church at Maidstone. And it was this. I hardly knew what it meant then. I hope I know something of it now. In Malachi. For I'm the Lord, I change not. Blessed God. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. For a man has changed, I have. I think some of you dear folks can say the same. Behold, I am vile. But Lord, he doesn't change, does he? From the Lord I change not. His every word of grace is strong as that which brought the skies. The voice that rolls the stars along speaks all the promises. He's faithful that promised. He swore by himself. He shed his precious blood. Isn't a wonderful declaration in Egypt? When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's an everlasting protection, my friend. When I see the blood. We haven't shed the blood. Our Jesus, our head, our friend has shed the blood. But we keep the feast. We do it by faith. Oh, we value the gospel ordinance. Oh, we drink the wine. We plead the precious blood of Christ. We eat the bread, the unleavened bread, the purity of Christ. We come to sit at the Lord's Supper. Precious truth of a precious Jesus. We keep the feast. We're divinely protected. And now we have to keep that feast day by day in our prayers, don't we? Great mercy to... What a privilege to come and sit at the Lord's Supper. Once a month. We keep it then outwardly in the ordinance by yielding obedience to the divine command. But friend, you keep that feast in your prayers, don't you? In your confessions. You plead your living Saviour. Well, he says here, and they that know thy name will put their trust in. See, it's knowing his name. Knowing it by faith. Knowing it by personal experience. Yes, that name that is wonderful. Wonderful in what he can do. Wonderful in his faithfulness, his love. The counsellor who counsels his church by spirit. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Haven't time to dwell on these points now. But know thy name, the worth, the value, the merit. Oh, the beauty. It's a name that your heavenly Father can never deny, friend. Almighty God, pure, holy, sin-hating, must punish iniquity. He's given a name and he's punished the sins of the comer, the sins of the sinners that flee for refuge. Go back to Hebrews, which already quoted, you see. Yes, he cannot deny that name. A name above every name. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Plead it then, my friend. Plead what is true. Plead what seems sweet to you. Plead in hope. Hope of God's love, God's mercy, through the swearings of Jehovah that are found alone in Jesus Christ. Put their trust in that precious Christ. So you have to pray, Lord, help me to do so. And you look to Jesus to give you the faith and give you the grace, give you the support, order your way safely, uphold you in life, uphold you in death. You look to that precious Lord Jesus for all you need to get to heaven. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Well, our dear brethren, you've proved that, haven't you? You've proved it. He hasn't forsaken you yet. We've often forsaken him. We are so bad in our thoughts and behaviour at times and our hard hearts, you know. We see every reason why he should forsake us. Could we bear from one another what he daily bears from us? Yet this glorious friend and brother loves us, though we treat him thus. Though for good we render ill, he accounts us brethren still. It's in one, well, it's in hymn 133, but it's a verse not in our book. It's a precious truth, isn't it? Ah, that seek thy name. So he says here, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. It's true tonight. It's true for tomorrow. It's truth while the earth remains. And what a glory those seekers will enter at last, and thou crown him Lord of all. Let us ask thee, Lord's blessing upon the word. Bless thy word, Lord. Oh, may we be among those who truly seek refuge in thee and trust in thee. Fulfill thy gracious word upon us each, that truth we've tried to consider tonight. We know the sweet salvation of it as we journey on, Lord. Do pardon all that's been spoken wrongly. Take us under thy shadow and grant journeying mercies. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Hart will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Wheatley next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 1093. How welcome to the tempest tossed amidst the storm's career, while horror spreads from coast to coast, is some kind haven near. 1093.
May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.